Hi.
Big week, no doubt, at the United Nations. Luke Vargas was very excited about it last week, telling us how he was going to run around like a chicken with his head cut off because there were so many speeches happening. And in fact, that's exactly what has happened. So we are thrilled to have him with us to talk about some of those addresses to the General Assembly. Luke, certainly there were some notable speeches on Thursday, including Abbas. Tell us what that was like to hear him. You also had a couple of others as well, including Robert Mugabe, too, as well. What were those speeches like?
Well, I'd say Abbas and Mugabe fall into different categories. Abbas is one of the people that, you know, journalists and others tuned into quite seriously because, you know, his opinions and the things he's saying about the Palestinian side of the ongoing peace talks with the Israelis really matters. He spent a good amount of time applauding the General Assembly, which is something most people actually don't do in their speeches. They refer to the gridlock and other things and call for UN reform. Abbas was very complimentary, thanking everyone for giving Palestine a non-member state observer status at the UN. So now they are a state, the state of Palestine, and he was able to sit in a tan chair, which is sort of odd UN procedure. Before, you're called into the room to speak, and then you sit down on this little chair for a second, and then you're introduced again, and then you get up and give your speech. The simple fact of sitting in that chair was sort of wrought with controversy. People saying non-member states shouldn't be allowed to sit in the chair. A bunch of journalists were asking this question, and eventually they hauled out a UN legal analyst who provided a rationale for why this was allowed. He then went on to say pretty much what we expected, very happy about the statehood. He said he's not going to be petitioning for full member status. It's something that people thought might happen at this General Assembly. They'd go for full statehood at the UN. That is what the Israelis have said would be a sort of a game ender in the peace talks, and it's something that the U.S. is not in favor of. So it was a pretty balanced speech by Abbas, but a very different reality over with the Robert Mugabe's speech. This gentleman is 89 years old. He's been in power since 1987. He just got elected again for another 5 years, and he was pretty slow delivering his remarks today. So fast forward to when he's 94 and doing this again. I'm not sure what we're going to get, but he railed on the U.S., saying shame, shame, shame for America for these illegal and filthy sanctions that you're putting on my peaceful country. He then said my country expresses its gratitude and appreciation to Russia for their principled stand on the Syria crisis. So that's a little bit of a taste of the other kind of speeches that were common this week.
Are people still buzzing about the president of Iran and what he had to say about talks and nukes and all that kind of stuff? Because that certainly was huge during the week.
Yeah, it's interesting. There is certainly buzz about it. But the fact of the matter is that Iran is all over the place this year's General Assembly. They really seem to be wanting to inject themselves into this debate. But they're not saying very much. I know people were, you know, keenly watching his speech. But what we're hearing from John Kerry in the U.S. seems to sort of reflect how I feel about Iran at the U.N. And Kerry keeps saying this. We're willing to have meetings, but it's going to take some serious time to know how serious the new president is about actually changing Iran's stance on their nuclear program. We have heard, and we heard today, that on October 15th in Geneva, there will be talks with senior Iranian nuclear negotiators. So that's when we'll start getting down in the specifics, and I think the U.S. and others will be able to tell how serious Iran is. But this week at the U.N., lots of photo ops, lots of handshakes, lots of everybody expressing their optimism for how talks might turn out. But again, it's going to take some time to know if there's anything below the surface there.
You know, the whole idea that push, as you were saying during the week, the ratification of the nuclear test ban treaty was so big. And you sent me a note that you interviewed the treaty secretary. What did the treaty secretary have to say?
Well, he called on President Obama to urge Congress to ratify this treaty. Just to recap, this treaty, the nuclear test ban treaty, was first signed in 1996. Something like 92% of countries around the world have signed this treaty. The problem is that, and this seems to be the case as I learn more about the UN and its treaties, is that the way it was written makes it super hard for it to go into effect ever. In order to go into effect, all nuclear-capable countries in the world have to ratify it, not just sign it. And this is a group of 44 countries. They've actually done pretty well. And the guy I talked to, who's from Burkina Faso and is at the head of this treaty now, said he's very encouraged. There are only 8 countries that they need signatures for. But unfortunately, you can start to guess who they might be. It's countries like Iran, North Korea, China, and the United States. And as we know, UN treaties historically don't fare very well in Congress. The nuclear test ban treaty has been put forward in front of the Senate twice and has been voted down. President Obama said in his 2008 campaign that he wanted to make it a priority to get the Congress to pass this, but the momentum has been really slow. And as much as this gentleman I talked to is optimistic, I could sense beyond it a little frustration that the promises aren't being followed up with action in the Senate, at least in the U.S.
Yeah. From the speeches to what's going to happen with the nuclear test ban treaty and the reaction there. The other big thing is on everybody's radar is Syria, chemical weapons. You and I talked a lot about that. No progress there, huh?
Well, actually, there's been quite a lot of developments since I sent that email to you a few hours ago. At around 7:30, going into the 8 o'clock hour, we heard some pretty big news, which is that the Security Council has agreed on a draft resolution. They will vote on it tomorrow at 3 p.m. This would be the first time there has been a consensus on the Security Council, the full Security Council, in the Syrian crisis, 2.5 years in now. I can give you sort of some broad contours of what this agreement is. As I suspected, and I probably told you on the show, the referral to the International Criminal Court for whoever was responsible for the chemical attacks has been dropped out of this resolution. And there is no automatic trigger for military or other response if Syria does not comply, though there is Chapter 7 language in here. This is going to take some time to parse. It's actually quite a legally ambiguous draft, but it is strong in some ways. It does trigger automatic punishment for Syria. The question really is what the nature of that would be if they break their promise on the chemical weapons handover. But big news in the last 2 hours, the Security Council agreeing on Syria for the first time.
All right, so that's good. That's good stuff for us. Finally, for you, I mentioned that you knew it was going to be crazy heading into this. So what was it like covering the General Assembly? This was a first-time thing for you. What was that like, Luke?
It's been really exciting. It's a mess. First off, I can't really go and cover it, per se. There are no media spots within the General Assembly chamber because it's in a temporary building, which if you go to the web TV broadcast anytime during the day, your listeners could do it tomorrow, they'll see it's not in the beautiful General Assembly chamber at the Secretariat building. It's in sort of an IKEA-looking prefabricated building, and everyone is crammed in there. It's not a glorious occasion for heads of state to be speaking to one another, but nonetheless, it's thrilling. I've been printing out the speeches right as they're released, immediately before they're delivered, loading up my Twitter with some of the best quotes right as they come out. And, I could do that my whole life, but unfortunately, there's so many other stories.
Exactly.
I keep getting drawn away.
I love it. Luke Vargas, thanks so much. Good stuff.
Cheers. Take care.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With the event-driven risks such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Delaney, I'll tell you what.
Nothing you can sing the country song.
It's been a long week, hasn't it? Are you tired? Tired, so tired of hearing about the same old thing when it comes to the budget. You know, I feel like a broken record. We say this every single day. We do. We say this every single day on America Tonight. I went back and I added up over the last 3 weeks how many times I talked about being tired of, sick of, wanting a change, something new when it came to the budget. And by my count, I added up 99 times. And my count might be a little bit off, too, by the way. So there is a chance that I could have said it a little bit more than that. But there are no words anymore for this, are there? There are no more words for the same shenanigans that we keep seeing over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's just we change the characters every once in a while. And I think as Americans, you know, we feel like we need a better way. We need a better system, something that we can actually count on, where we know a budget can click in, and yes, there may be disagreements, but we don't have to constantly feel as though we're on a high wire and we're being told what could happen, what might happen, what will happen over and over and over again. So needless to say, we're going to try to avoid that during this version of America Tonight as much as we can. If you stick around throughout the whole show, coming up, we're going to talk to my pal in one of the upcoming hours, Russ Riddle, who has written a book called Lawyer Up, The Smart Way. He's the most honest lawyer I know. And he has tips about how to find the right kind of attorney, that kind of thing, in his book. Plus, we're going to talk to Mike Bonacorsi about getting you retirement ready, because I thought it would be fun to, you know, add some of the things, here's some useful information for you things, like I said, instead of the same old stuff. And there's a theme here. So retirement ready, if you need a lawyer, and Ben Fuchs, talking about the myths of things like willpower. Now, he says that all the time, that there is no such thing as willpower, but that's what you constantly hear about when it comes to losing weight or counting calories or, you know, whatever it is, that, oh, if you, you know, you need that willpower. And he says how it's just a bunch of nonsense. So he talks about that, and he talks about some other things, like foods that you think are good for you, but actually you have to kind of be careful about what food you choose. For example, he focuses on fruit. So anyway, I thought we would focus on a couple of other things a little bit, sneak them in along the way on this show instead of, I mean, we are going to talk a little bit about Washington, but instead of constantly hammering that over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'll tell you one thing that is also getting very tiresome. I mean, everybody knows that, you know, what are my three loves? Well, politics, because it infuriates me, right, like many of you. And because it's we the people, and if we don't keep the government in check, then it's surely bound to check us. Business, because we thrive on capitalism. So what's happening in business? What are some of the things that you can take advantage of? I can take advantage of, all of us in the nooks and crannies. And, of course, sports. You know I love sports, too. And another sad, tired trend that I'm tired of reading about and hearing about is these fans that are getting injured or killed going to games. You know, there's a man stabbed to death near AT&T Park after the Dodgers-Giants game. Yep, that rivalry between those two clubs is a heated one for sure. You know, San Francisco, Los Angeles. But all of a sudden now we're having a lot of violence break out. So Wednesday night, a man was stabbed outside of the park. It happened four blocks from the park, you know, right before midnight. And the Giants had a 6-4 win over the Dodgers. So what happened was, supposedly, the guy who was stabbed to death was walking with his brother and father, and they all had Dodger stuff on. The person who was stabbed wasn't wearing anything baseball-related. So here we go again. I mean, how awful is that? And the guy who died was a guy named Jonathan Denver. He was the son of one of the security guards. One of the Dodgers security guards. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's just extremely difficult to process this. It's unimaginable to me that somebody could be wearing, whether it's in Los Angeles, somebody wearing Giants stuff during the game when the two play, or whether it's in San Francisco. It's twisted. How can you take kids to games for fear that, you know, games get over a little bit longer? It's not a school night, let's say, perhaps, and now you got to be worried about where are you parking? What are you wearing? I mean, it's outrageous. It is. So it's not just one thing, it's a couple of things. And it's too bad. It's too bad because it shouldn't be that way. Couldn't we have friendly rivalries? I think so. I think that's what we should have. Go back to the time where you could certainly chide somebody about the team that they rooted for. Just like in politics. You could chide the opponent, but then you could have beers afterwards. Now that's it seemingly impossible. It's impossible. So Obamacare, people are really starting to talk about this. We've had a couple of guests on lately. But what does it mean to you? Does it mean things are coming to a halt, grinding to a halt? Does it mean you're going to be taking advantage of something? Because not everybody is going to think that this is all doom and gloom. For some, hey, with pre-existing conditions, it might be an okay thing. Although more of the notes and the problems and what I see ahead is the opposite for most of the people who are sending stuff to our mailbag. And small businesses, you know, that's the big concern. So you got the federally run marketplaces that are going to launch, the health exchanges, this upcoming Tuesday. But small businesses won't be able to enroll online until November. They have to sign up, I guess, through fax or paper mail, That's what the Health and Human Services Department is saying. So there was all these assurances that, okay, yep, October 1st, that's the deadline. We're going to be okay. We're going to be able to reach that. Now they're saying, and they said this on Thursday, yeah, there's going to be a delay. So the whole small business exchanges won't be available until November. So it's not going to be ready in October. And that's what it's called, the Small Business Health Options Program. So this way, supposedly, easier, cheaper way for business owners to shop for health insurance for their employees because they're having problems finding things that they can pay. And it offers entrepreneurs a website where they can compare health plans, and it's designed to supposedly lower premiums by grouping small business employees together. It's that whole pooling, the pool risking thing. So business owners shopping on the exchanges will see that they're pretty limited in the first few weeks. They'll be able to look at health plan overviews, and look at maybe some premium costs, but it won't be ready to go, and it won't be completely accurate, they say, at this point. It won't be completely accurate. So how does that affect the small business? How does that affect the individual? Some of you listening to the show, truck drivers, how does that affect you? And the push still continues to repeal the law, but it's certainly not looking good in the repeal department, as we saw with what happened with Ted Cruz and the push to, okay, let's defund Obamacare and re-rack this thing, or let's push it a year, but that's not looking like that's going to happen. But the shopping around for the businesses, now it's going to be a little bit more difficult because they're just going to have to wait a little bit longer and they're going to have to figure it out. And for somebody who has a small amount of employees or they're an entrepreneur and it's a solo thing, that that makes it tougher. People forget the Affordable Health Care Act was passed a couple of years ago. So we've had some screw-ups and delays, and the organization is terrible, the implementation, the rollout. It's hitting a lot of potholes. It certainly doesn't make you feel good. You got to say that no matter what. If you think, oh, we need health care. But then you see the problems that are happening, and you think, ah. You know, how many Americans, 48 million people have signed up, but do they qualify? Is there a place for them to go? They think they're getting health insurance? What's happening? Stay with us. We're booted to the other side. I'll meet you there.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Pack 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Heard a loud, just a loud boom sound. I heard a series of gunshots. We were about 50 yards from the main entrance. We ducked behind the kiosk. It quieted for just a short moment, and we started running. We saw a lot of caring from the Kenyan people.
All right, that is a little bit of the story of a couple that was caught in the crossfire. Now more of that kind of stuff is emerging from that mall melee in Nairobi in Kenya. And that was Ryan Colby, and he was there with his family and feels pretty lucky to be in the situation where they were able to get out. But imagine what they saw as he was describing of, you know, the sounds and whatnot while that was happening, being under siege. I think still, you know, your heart goes out to those people. A week later, this thing just wrapped up really a few days ago. And a lot of the conversation now is about mall safety in the United States, seeing that, yes, it was Kenya and whatnot, but it was an upscale area where there were a lot of people from other parts of the world that were there, that were frankly just shopping, eating, strolling along. And because of that, now the security has already been beefed up. Like Mall of America, I think our biggest mall in the country, they have added more security. Some they say is obvious and some not as obvious because they weren't, you know, going to take any chances. They saw what happened and decided to make a move and get ahead of it. Just in case, why take the risk? That makes sense to me. I say this all the time because the bubble has been pierced. It's been pierced at work, school, and it's been pierced out in public in places like malls and whatnot. So if you can add security and make people feel safer and see that presence, you know, why not? Or if somebody, it could be just a a person that's a lone wolf kind of person, not necessarily ties to Al-Qaeda or Al-Shabaab or whatever. But in Minnesota, of course, they have a huge Somali population, and some of them would have, you would assume, as we know, one of, they believe one of the militants, one of the Al-Shabaab guys that was involved in the mall attack was from Minnesota. You know, they realize, well, okay, so why not just show the force and then have some people sort of undercover instead of risking it, instead of saying, ah, you know what, this isn't going to happen. We're not going to panic because something happened in Nairobi. They're just getting ahead of it, and I think that's smart on their part. So what if it's extra security? In the long run, it doesn't have to be costly. It can be the opposite of that, especially in a mall of that size and with how many people go in and out of there. It just would be too easy for something unforeseen, let's say, to happen. Something that, you know, who knows what, somebody trying to wreak havoc with a lot of people, frankly, that are caught in one spot. I mean, that's the thought, the reason for planes and buildings and whatever possibility could lie ahead, is to think ahead, to be a step ahead, and so you got to think about where the crowds are. And for the situation there at that mall, the reason they chose it is because of so many Westerners using it, so many people from other countries, and it was upscale, and it was right there in the middle in the open, and it was an easy target in a way. And by the time you have police types getting in there, it's just too late. I mean, they've, you know, already fired off rounds and rounds and rounds, and also then had hostages and had killed some people and let some people go. And who wants to end up in that sad, sad situation, especially if you're a conglomerate or a group of people or whoever who owns the mall, whatever mall it is, why put yourself in that situation? Why not get ahead of it? You know, why not jump ahead of that, right? Instead of waiting to see what, to see what happens. Just jump in front of it instead of reacting to it. I don't know. Do you think it's overkill? I don't think it's overkill. Sometimes I think that's what we do, like with the TSA. When one little thing happens, all of a sudden we're undressing because, oh, that's right, somebody had a bomb in a belt, or somebody had a pen knife, or somebody had whatever. And I always think that when it comes to security at airports, it seems like we're reacting to things that could have happened. So because it was somewhere else, we're going to do it. I don't think that in this case. Because malls anyway could be targets for petty theft and, you know, shoplifting for that matter, that kind of stuff, if you wanted to kick it up a notch. And so why not get ahead of that instead of being a target? Instead of being a target, try to dissuade somebody from thinking that. Soft targets, and that's the thing. Crowds will always be that way. We have David Nance on the show a couple of times a year. He's a great security expert, just like my pal Robert Siciliano. He's great at that too. Remember, he was caught this year in April at the Boston Marathon with his young children and wife and family waiting for him near the finish line. And he's a security expert. He talks around the world to people about security things they can do, especially when it comes to computers and that kind of stuff, but also being aware of other possibilities. And David Nance says, anytime you get into a crowd, looking around, knowing where the exits are, not to be paranoid and live as though somebody's going to attack you, but just to know, okay, here we are, I'm in an open area, and I'm looking around, and I see there are some spots that, you know, could cause problems, so I'm going to know where they are. I've got a family, and I can split. I do a 360 around the whole thing. He says that constantly, no matter what. He tells everyone that, whether you're in India, whether you're in South America, or whether you're in the United States, for that matter. I guess it's just a reminder of that. Hey, speaking of the mall attack, Interpol has issued, they say, an arrest notice for the British woman known as the White Widow, who is being looked at as one of the key players in that attack on that mall. And they've actually released a photograph of her. And her name is Samantha Luthwaite, if I'm saying that correctly. And so she's wanted on charges of possessing explosive and conspiracy to commit a felony in Kenya in 2011. And they think she was involved in a plot to attack restaurants and hotels in the country. At least that's what's being reported. Not even 30 years old, 29 years old. And they think she had rented several houses in areas in Mombasa to assemble a bomb. She was once married to a suicide bomber who killed, remember this, 52 people in an attack on the London subway system back in 2005. So Kenya's foreign minister says that Luthwaite took part in the mall siege alongside the Al-Shabaab terror group. So they don't have any hard evidence to confirm the participation, but they're not ruling it out. They think it's definitely a possibility that she was involved, and she's believed to have been using an alias, so they're floating that all over the place and pumping it out there. Her alias is Natalie Faye Webb, and she went to live in South Africa for a couple of years, so start to connect the dots. And she used the identity to take out bank loans and rent property in Johannesburg. So there's some things that they're pulling together with the White Widow. And she rented a couple of different properties, ran up a bunch of debt. The Kenyan anti-terrorism police suspect she was working with Musa Hussein Abdi, who was shot dead with an Al-Qaeda boss in Somalia in 2011. And so she's a person they're looking to find. Think about that husband tied to the 2005, what happened there. And, boy, you would think she would have been, they would have been on her like white on rice because of her loose ties to those situations. And here it is, not even 10 years after that, and there's a couple of different things that she absolutely is in the middle of anyway, and I don't know how she could explain herself, you know, out of that, and obviously using the aliases and whatnot. So they're smart to pump her photo all over the place because she has a certain look, definitely, you know, the whole very, very white, the white widow idea because of the husband being killed, but there could be some people that spot her somewhere in and around Africa, and they might be able to get her and question her and maybe find out more. I don't know what she would give up, but you have to assume something because they've got video and probably have much more even than they're releasing. It's interesting because a local city councilor who knows her back in her days in England says that she's just an average British young ordinary girl. Well, aren't those the types? That's what we're talking about, the people who become radicalized, right? So she's perfect for that. And especially think of the year she would have been really young when her husband was in the middle of the subway attack. So I think she fits it to a T, the description of not always just young men that get involved with it, but young women that also get involved, or, you know, women in general. Look at Jihad Jane. You know, how do you pick her out of a lineup and assume that she would be involved in this, be somehow in the middle of it? And I would say the same thing for this White Widow as well. All right, coming up on the flip side, believe it or not, happy news. Yes, we have the Daily Salute. But if you want to chime in on any or all of it, feel free. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Beefing up security at the local mall, necessary or not?
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day. Unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
It's National Preparedness Month, and ReadyMadeResources.com is proud to announce an unprecedented sale. For a very limited time, you can save 45 to 70% on all Mountain House cans and case lots. Best of all, you can mix and match, and all orders include free shipping. Visit ReadyMadeResources.com and save 45 to 70% while supplies last. Hurry, this sale ends September 30th. Call 800-627-3809. 800-627-3809. ReadyMadeResources.com. Get the best for less.
John Cougar. What do we know about John Cougar Mellencamp anyway? I used to really like his music. I guess I still do when it's Throwback Thursday. I like a lot of the lyrics of his songs, a lot of the lyrics of his music. Now he's with Meg Ryan. Every time I see a photograph of him somewhere, you know, I'm not into the whole celebrity dish thing. So, you know, if I know that, it must be pretty, it must be widespread. One can only assume. Because there's no way I would know that. And all the pictures they ever show of him, he always, you know, seems to be, you know, always seems to be with her anyway. Okay, so time for a tweeter bust here on America Tonight. If you don't know what a tweeter...
Yeah, remember that one?
Oh, I love those sounds. I feel like I'm in the rainforest right now. All right, so here's the deal with a tweeter bust. I don't understand what people are thinking with the whole tweeting thing. We've seen so many get in trouble with this, including Anthony Weiner. You know, it wasn't just Facebook that brought him down. It was the whole tweeting thing. And Cory Booker, really a good guy, the Newark mayor, and he's a huge Twitter aficionado. He's campaigning to become a senator in New Jersey, and he's been messaging a vegan stripper online. Yep, some direct messages. Booker, who's 44, exchanging with 26-year-old Lindsay Lee. You love those names. Lindsay Lee on the pole, a tattooed stripper at a so-called vegan strip club. What's a vegan strip? Only in Portland. A vegan strip club.
Oh, yeah,
club.
You said Portland. Yeah.
Anyway, he says, tweeted a bunch of things. The East Coast loves you, and by the East Coast, I mean me. It was one message, and she says, I'm blushing, and he says, oh, it's only fair, and, you know, the direct messages, they have a few of them. Who knows if there may be other things that, you know, we don't know of. But they, because some of the news people, loosely I say that, picked up on what was going on, they found some topless photos of the vegan Lindsay Lee stripper. So that makes it, you know, here's the politician, here's the stripper. And there's a thing called BuzzFeed, and the BuzzFeed folks showed it. And I don't know, is this much ado about nothing or what? I mean, he is single, so there's no, oh, his wife is pregnant kind of stuff, the nonsense with what happened with Anthony Weiner. But, gosh, I know, you know, you would think if you're, these guys know this. I mean, they just, even why tempt fate? I guess because Booker, I think, would just say whatever he feels about it if he was pressed about it. Because he doesn't, he's usually very, very upfront. And so I have to assume that if he gets massively caught up in this, what will happen is he'll just get in front of it and say, no big deal, and say whatever, that he got some tweets from her and that's it, and there's not much more else to tell. As all I can assume, but I still would say, geez, why not push back from that kind of stuff? Why even get there in the first place? Is it really worth it? No. Especially when you're running for an office, for goodness sake. But he is single. I mean, I'll say that again, say he's a single guy, so it is different. He's not some married guy who's carrying on some weird deal with somebody from afar and who's, you know, could be his daughter or whatever. There's none of that kind of nonsense. So I'm going to say, in one way, much ado about nothing. How about that? Much ado about nothing. So I did promise that we would have the Daily Salute. And the Daily Salute can be, you know, somebody famous. It could be somebody not famous, somebody that's just done a good thing. So it kind of runs the gamut. Just something that's a little bit more positive. How about that? Instead of just getting pounded by negative, 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 right? So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that for me, that the Daily Salute is this. The Daily Salute for me is this. I think baseball is the ultimate great game. I told you about the sad story of the fan's death. You know, here we go again with a rivalry, strange thing. Bud Selig, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, who has been the commissioner since 1992, is done following the 2014 season. Now, this is a guy who I think you could point to a few things that he did perhaps well during his tenure, but I would point to a few things that he didn't do so well, and I think it'd be great that he retires, and then that's it. He needs to call it quits. He's going to be, first of all, he's going to be 80 years old next year, which I don't have an age thing, if somebody was terrific. But in his case, what kept happening, I think, was there were some things that were shoved under the mound. Let's call it that. So performance-enhancing drugs. It ballooned when he was the commissioner. And so now, recently, he's taken some big leaps in that area to curtail all the things that have happened with PEDs. We saw the big, of course, the big suspension for A-Rod and then suspensions for some of the other players. But I say too late for that because it should have been nipped in the bud a lot earlier, and they knew about it, and they didn't do anything quickly enough. I would say that ultimately that is the biggest thing that should have happened for sure. And then the other thing I would say on the success side is that he did institute interleague play, and I like that. I like the fact that if you live in an American League city, you can see a National League team before the World Series. I think that's good. It makes it kind of interesting. But I think the drug thing, the drug culture, all the stuff that happened with that is something that is something that's hard to ignore. And I think being in the rearview mirror, him being in the rearview mirror, is a good thing now at this point. And then this whole idea of no salary cap. The small market teams, to me, really get snubbed or jobbed or whatever you want to call it. And the ones with the big money are the winners. So to me, it needs to be more equitable in baseball in that sense. So those would be the two big blunders. So for that reason, I'm going to say adios, Bud Selig, as the Major League Baseball commissioner. Can we have some applause for that? That is our daily salute that finally, I think, this retirement, woohoo, sticks. Nobody wants to clap for that in Minnesota. I think it's a good daily salute. Come on now. That's a good one. It's, there we go. To me, it's, because I think it's long overdue. Yeah, for every positive thing you can point to, there's too many other things I could point to that I would say you should have stepped away a lot sooner. It would have been better for Major League Baseball. Somebody that could have come in and cleaned up the whole drug thing as soon as it started happening instead of stepping around it, instead of, stepping around everything, just going right in the middle of it and cutting it off on its onset as soon as it happened. I would say of commissioners, if you look at Roger Goodell, the NFL, I give him big thumbs up because he's a no-nonsense guy, and he wasn't going to take any nonsense the second he stepped into that role for the NFL. And I think it would have been, baseball would have been better served if C-League had done that. All right, you might have some thoughts on the show. You can certainly share them with us. All you have to do is go to americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing, you are in. Thanks for listening to this hour of ATN.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.